Now, we've said that Jesus is working to build his church. We talked about how he established his church. And of course, his statement that I will build my church has to do with establishing his church. But we've also said that it has something to do with the work that he continues to do to build his church. We talked last week about what Jesus would do. And for the remainder of the time that we're going to be talking about how Jesus works with us, I'm going to change that from what would Jesus do to what did Jesus do. And what I want us to learn is how to have conversations like Jesus had, because I think it's important for us to have those kinds of conversations. Now, as we start, we're going to try to remember through all of this that we can look at Jesus and we can see him doing some things, but we don't quite know why he did it. We just see the activity that Jesus did, and we have to think about why he would be doing that. And that can create a problem for us, because sometimes we'll be right and sometimes we'll be wrong. We may have the reasons behind it unclear in our mind. So as we talk about what Jesus did, we're going to try as much as possible to always consider what Jesus said about what he was doing. And that's in part because the apostle, remember what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him. If you watched me behave, you might think that I was behaving because of a certain reason. In reality, that's not the reason for my behavior, and you need to ask me. So we're going to try as much as possible to ask Jesus about what he's doing. Now, as we talk about what Jesus did, we're going to talk a lot about his conversations. But this morning, we're going to start with a very basic understanding that Jesus viewed every aspect of his life as an opportunity to tell people about God. Now, we're also going to talk about how Jesus shared the gospel in different ways with different people. Now, the gospel didn't change, but he shared it in different ways with different people. When Jesus was around crowds, sometimes they were crowds of people that he had called together. Sometimes there were crowds of people around Jesus and they were eavesdroppers. They were just kind of seeing what was going on and maybe hearing what was going on. And sometimes the crowds were his opponents. They gathered around because they wanted to trap him. They wanted to see if they couldn't find some reason to call him a false prophet. We're going to see Jesus dealing with individuals. Sometimes these individuals were honest seekers. And it could be that it was just like with the crowds. Sometimes you had people that were just trying to trap Jesus. They were on an individual basis. They were talking to him. They really didn't want to hear what he had to say. They just wanted to trap him. Sometimes he was with individuals who were just curious. They weren't really interested in doing what Jesus had to say, but in some ways, they're kind of like the people that Paul addressed in Athens when he was on Mars. He said they came together because they just They love to talk about some new thing. And, that's the way things are. I like to talk about hydrogen-powered vehicles. I have no idea what a hydrogen-powered vehicle is, but it just seems like it'd be really cool. Tim's dad used to tell me that hydrogen burns with a flame that you can't see. So they put stuff in hydrogen, so when it burns, you'll be able to see it. They usually put something in there that makes it burn blue. I thought that was cool. You could stand behind a hydrogen-powered vehicle, just like a hydrogen-powered airplane. I've seen them. I've seen airplanes take off up in Alaska, and they take off, and that afterburner kicks in, and that flame is shooting out the back of that airplane. Wouldn't it be cool if you couldn't see the flame? You could stand behind the airplane, get incinerated just like that. So some people are just curious. And some people were trying to trap him, just like he encountered with the crowds. Sometimes he spent a lot of time discussing these things with his dearest friends, the disciples, the people that were close to him. Sometimes he talked with just his inner circle of friends, the people among all the disciples that were closest to him. So we talk about 12 apostles, and then there were three apostles that were at least appeared to be very, very close to Jesus. One of the things that we're going to see when we talk about what Jesus did is that he was always attentive to the needs of the moment. Jesus didn't prejudge people. And I'm guilty of that. There are times when I could have a conversation with someone, but I decline because I'm convinced that they're just not going to be attentive to the things that I have to say. They don't care. I don't give them the opportunity to say that they don't care. I decide that they don't care. That's prejudging. Another thing that Jesus did that was so important is he always listened to what people had to say. I'm guilty, more so than most, of listening to the first sentence of what you have to say and then immediately changing gears, and I stop listening to you and I start formulating my response. I do it so frequently that I find myself responding to something that you didn't say. And Kim can tell you how often I do that when I have conversations with her. He listened to other people's questions. The other thing that Jesus did was he never relied on canned answers. Have you ever watched a White House news conference? It doesn't matter who the president is, but you watch a White House news conference and a reporter stands up and asks a question, and the person that's running the news conference immediately starts turning through this big binder that they have in front of them. It's a huge binder. And they start reading from that binder. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with the question that was asked. And sometimes I want to just, I have been so frustrated by that, that I want to just take that person and say, wait a minute, didn't you listen to the question that somebody asked you? But no, you responded with a canned answer. So we're going to talk a little bit about having canned answers, and Jesus never did. And then the last thing that we'll notice, and it kind of brackets with the first thing that we noticed, is that Jesus prayed frequently during his ministry about his ministry. Jesus prayed about the people that were around him, and he prayed frequently to God. So let's back up and let's kind of start at the beginning. Jesus viewed every aspect of his life as an opportunity to tell people about God. Remember what happened in the second chapter of Luke? Jesus is about 12 years old. His parents go to Jerusalem for the feast. They're with the big family crowd. After the feast is over, they leave. And I can't imagine that they did this, but they were gone. And they suddenly noticed, where's Jesus? When I can just imagine, Mary looked at Joseph and said, I thought you had him. And Joseph looked at Mary and said, I thought you had him. They left Jesus behind, panic-stricken. They ran back to Jerusalem to try to find their 12-year-old son. Where did they find him? He was in the temple. And he asks, they have this conversation with him. And Jesus kind of brings all that to a head. He says, why did you have to look for me? That's a statement in and of itself. Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my Father's work is. Jesus just always concerned himself with God's work. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have to make his bed. It doesn't mean he didn't have to help his dad sweep out the carpenter shop. It doesn't mean that he didn't have to go carry water for his mother. But he was always about the things of God. There's another incident in Mark, the third chapter. Jesus is busy teaching, and his mother and his brothers came. This is what it says in Mark 3 at verse 31. They stood outside and sent someone in to tell him to come out. Many people were sitting around Jesus. These people that they sent in, they said to him, your mother and your brothers are waiting for you outside. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Then he looked at the people sitting around him. He said, these people are my mother and my brothers. Everything about Jesus focused on the conversations that he could have with people about God. John, the ninth chapter. You see it yet again. Jesus makes this statement about himself. And then John, the ninth chapter, is a passage where Jesus heals a blind man. And he explains what's happening here. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. I have to do this. On another occasion, John, the fifth chapter, the man that Jesus had healed went away, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him, because they don't know who's healed him, and they're asking. This was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath day. He was healing people. And these Jews wanted to hold him accountable. Jesus answered those Jews. He said, my Father's working till now, and I'm working. It's just the way it is. My Father's working, I'm working. In John, the fourth chapter, Jesus makes this statement. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, he says, I tell you, lift up your eyes. See, the fields are white unto the harvest. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. What I eat, it's what sustains me. Everything about Jesus revolved around his ability to do God's work. So now I have to ask the question, what's that mean for me? Well, we could talk about what it means for preachers. We could talk about what it means for those people who are elders. But you know, it really, in many ways, boils down to what every one of us needs to be doing. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, the apostle is talking to the preacher Timothy. And sometimes I have to remind myself that this is a statement that was made to preachers. It's a statement that applies to everybody because Paul expanded it. He said, the thing you heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. But this is the way that Paul said it to Timothy. Now, Timothy is the preacher. He says, tell everyone God's message. Be ready at all times to do whatever is needed. Tell people what they need to do. Tell them what they're doing wrong and encourage them. Do this with great patience and careful teaching. That's how we make our lives revolve around God, like Jesus made every aspect of his life revolve around the things of God. Be ready at all times. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes I come to a place like this and other people want to talk about God, and that's great. And other times I find myself in those situations where it's not all that easy to talk about God, where it's not all that easy to let people know that God cares for them. But I have to be ready at all times. The King James translation says, be instant in season and out of season. Well, it's easier to understand if I just say be ready at all times to do whatever is needed. Remember what Paul said, to the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To those that are without the law, I became as one without the law, though not without the law of Christ, so that I might gain those that are without the law. We have to do everything we can, always, to think about what God wants. That's why I wrote the article that's on the back of the bulletin this morning. Always and in all things. Tell people what they need to do. Tell them about God. Tell them when they're doing things that are wrong. And encourage them. Look for ways to encourage the people that you're around, that they're doing the kinds of things that God wants them to do. We spend a lot of time talking to people about what they're doing that's wrong, and we don't spend nearly as much time talking to people about what they're doing that God wants them to do. Do it with great patience and do it with careful teaching, just like Jesus did. Always listening to the people that are around us, never responding with canned answers, but always considering what they say. If we'll do this, we can be like Jesus. We can let our lives revolve around what God is doing. If you're here this morning and you want to be a part of that, put on Jesus. Baptism is the way that you do that. You can be a new creature in Christ. You can begin to live your life this way, and we'll help you to do that. If you're listening to this and thinking, you know, I really want to be that kind of person. I'm not. I should be. I've put on Jesus. But I want to be that kind of person. Resolve that that's the kind of person that you're going to be. And change your heart to be that kind of person. We want to pray with you. We want to help you in any way that we can. But we want you to think about it.